We'll go ahead and get started. My name is Ken Thompson. I'm the chair of the Duplin County Commissioners. Today is...
Dana, you shut that door for me, please.
Today is Monday, August 19th. And this is our second meeting of the month. I'd like to ask Reverend Connors to give the invocation, then we'll follow that with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time that you've given unto us. We ask you, Lord, now as we go forth, that you allow your Holy Spirit to guide our commissioners on decisions that is needed for the prosperity of Duplin County. We ask you to bless those that have arrived here to support, as well as one of those come with opinions or thoughts. We ask you to remember their children as they're preparing to go back into the school system this school year. We ask for your protection and your guidance upon the Department of the Board of Education as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Does anyone have anything to add to the consent agenda on the board? Start with Mr. Edwards.
I do not.
Mr. Princeton.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I do not have anything to add to the consent agenda. However, I would like to remove the upset bids for the sale of county property, which is item Q on your commissioner's bulletin, as the prospective buyer has decided not to proceed with the purchase. Also, Mrs. Venezia, our public transportation director, and Mrs. Grotke, our curator at the Cal Museum of History and Science, will not be able to attend this meeting due to personal reasons, so I will be presenting on their behalf.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second. Been moved and properly seconded to do so. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That motion carries. Do we have any public comments this time, Mr. Brinson?
Mr. Chairman, we have two individuals who have signed up for public comments.
Okay, we have two folks. Lee Heath is the first one. Come on up, ma'am, and you can state your name and your reason for being here right here at this microphone. And you have 3 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Lee Heath, and I'm a Duplin County resident, a pet owner, a foster for several rescues, and a former DCAS foster, Duplin County Animal Services. I've spent countless hours promoting DCAS animals in hopes of saving them from euthanasia. Rescues are being told that any animal there for 5 days maximum will be euthanized, regardless of health, room available in the shelter, or rescue commitment to pull it. Management is enforcing this rule, telling us that it has been approved by the county commissioners and the county manager. I find that difficult to believe, since the county manager himself told me that it is a 5 day minimum rule, not maximum. On a recent trip to pull two puppies who were about to be euthanized under this current policy, I found 9 empty kennels at the shelter. Sometimes we are only finding out about the animals that can be pulled by rescues days after they enter the shelter, so that makes the 5 day rule a virtual death sentence for many of these animals. I also know of an occasion where an animal was euthanized on a federal holiday the day before it was scheduled to go to a committed rescue who had raised hundreds of dollars for vetting this puppy because she had an injured foot. There are many hands that work in trying to save these animals, and our efforts are useless if we aren't given the time it takes to get the resources needed to save them, especially since the ordinance doesn't specify if days the shelter is closed or part of the 5 days. No animal can be rescued or pulled on the weekends or holidays. The 5 day maximum rule doesn't match the county ordinance. If the animal is to be held for 5 days minimum per the ordinance, how can it be adoptable if there is a 5 day max rule in place? I am not the only concerned citizen. A recent petition, and I have this for you, and I have emailed it to you as well, with over 500 signatures as of today, and numerous comments from many, we are ready for transparency, accountability, and consistency at Duplin County Animal Services. The outcome we would like to see from this information is that there be more transparency, consistency, and accountability from this department. The employees work under the direction of management and have to follow instructions, instructions that can affect life or death of an animal. I would like to see the 5-day max rule be more adoption friendly or be eliminated. Pets that are lost sometimes take days or weeks to find. A pet owner who loses his or her pet should not be afraid that if the animal is picked up by the animal control officers, it will face death in such a short amount of time. We would appreciate swift action because each day is another opportunity for an animal to begin its cycle within the confines of DCAS.
Mr. Chairman.
You can wind up your comment. I'd appreciate it.
Okay. A shelter is defined as a place of refuge. Please, let us work together to make Duplin County just that, a place where animal welfare is a priority instead of the exact opposite. Thank you.
Ms. Heath, you said you had a petition with 500 signatures?
I do. It actually has over 500 now.
Can you pass that, Ms. Prentice?
Sure.
Aren't there about 66,000 people in Duplin County? About half
a
percent. All
right,
thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Oh, hold on a minute.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Sure.
In case if something happens and we need a lesson or teaching for the citizens here of Duplin County, do you have a plan available?
A plan to teach them what is it that you like
about
to teach?
Animals. The way they are left to run freely, not put in safety with a little fence around them. I'm in the county and I go around all the time. The dogs are running rampant.
That you're correct.
People come and get a dog because he's a puppy and he looks wonderful and cute. And as soon as he pee-pees in the house, they kick him out. You gotta do more than like come here with us because everyone has a life, and we have a department that takes care of them. It would be wonderful with those signatures that you have if you would call his office and make an appointment, and y'all try to set up something to help us. We're just not in this to wave a wand and everything is fine. And it's wonderful that you come forward, but come to help us, not the man.
I'm not. I don't. I'm sorry that you perceived it that way. I'm not. This is not a demand. I want you to be aware that the county ordinance states that 5 days is a minimum.
Thank you, Ms. Next up, we have Laura Jones. Thank you.
Thank you.
Laura Jones.
It's probably the oddest public comment, but here we go. Just a quick message from the library. I want to take a moment to introduce you to our library pet, who's one of the most important members of our staff. He helps with our children's programming. He's been to elementary schools and daycares. And in the library branch, we had a naming contest. The children named him Flash. And he is a leopard tortoise. He came to us and has been living in a high-rise condo in the library. So kids run into the library and they're running back to his house and they want to see that he's in there. He was featured at our summer reading program. This year our numbers, you'll notice in your packet in the library report, we had 1,365 participants this summer in summer reading. Last summer the numbers were 195. So with Kara's efforts and exciting programming, we've added to our library services. We expected higher numbers, but as you know, Paw Patrol Touch a Truck was postponed until November based on weather. We're anticipating at least 1,200 participants in that. We've received phone calls from Raleigh, Newbern, Maysville, really pulling folks in from outside the county.
We'd like to thank all of our departments for, we get positive response from all the departments that we work with on our trunk or treat. Last year we had over 600 coming through the library, and different departments are already talking about what they'll do for this year. That's on October 29th. As I said, Paw Patrol is moving to November 9th, and Flash brings you a treat from his garden tonight. We had a scout troop from, if you want to pass those out, a scout troop from Wallace did an eagle project where they built 3 raised vegetable beds behind the library. And so those will sustain Flash, and they'll be used for programming. We'll plant different things throughout the year to work with children's programming. So you'll notice on the tag, it says, "Behold the tortoise. He makes progress only when he sticks his neck out." And that's an underlying theme in our library. So we try to think outside the books and outside the walls of our branches to instill a love of reading for patrons of all ages. So we just wanted to share that with you.
Okay.
And we'll bring the scouts at another time to talk about other projects that they've done. We've been blessed.
And before you step off, and I'm not making light of the subject and the need for the children to run, but I think I stopped and took his grandfather off of 24 just yesterday morning.
Well, we appreciate that.
He was trying to get across.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, there was one young lady who was out in the lobby and didn't get a chance to sign up for public comment. She's now in the room. She would like to speak. Her name is Karen Smack.
Okay, come on up, Ms. Smack.
Hello. I'm here to advocate for Duplin Animal Shelter. A lot of people downgrade what they're doing. They don't realize they work with the best that they can with the amount of space that they have. I submitted a letter, and I'd like to read a portion of it to you guys in advance. I've been fostering and volunteering and transporting for Duplin Animal Shelter in January of this year. During this time, I've seen Bobby take dogs home, Maddie take home kittens, and Joe is always willing to work with both my husband and I and work schedules to arrange pickup from the shelters virtually 24/7, finding rescues, picking up animals, dealing with owner surrenders, and helping resolve abuse cases. We should all be proud and appreciate all the work being done. A less than 10% kill rate is a true positive in an unfortunate situation. If these workers didn't care as much, that number would be significantly higher. Ms. Lee brought up the incident of the puppy. The injured dog was scheduled to be picked up, but over the night he started chewing off his foot. Sometimes in this field of doing rescue, unfortunate things happen, and you have to look out for the best interests of the animal and doing what is truly best for the animal, which isn't always the easiest choice to make. So even though sometimes an animal doesn't make it out, they try the best they can to get the animal out. So instead of speaking negatively and condescending their choices, they're not the ones that are making the choices. There was also another complaint about volunteers cleaning up the shelter. There's more to rescue. It's not just getting the dogs out. You actually have to help take care of the animals. So if you're going to down them but not be willing to volunteer to go in and feed the dogs, clean the pens, and help, you really can't complain and knock people down for doing their jobs the best that they can. Somebody complained that Joe made them go and clean up. I work 60 hours a week. On my day off, I don't want to wait until 12 o'clock when they open to go and pick up an animal. I do a med pass in Kenansville at 7 o'clock in the morning. Once I'm done, I can go to the animal shelter, help them clean up. Yeah, it's not the best job, but you know what? You just can't have a dog to say, oh, I saved the dog today and gave it a ride. There's more to it. They work tirelessly and endlessly, taking dogs home, doing the best that they can. So for somebody to degrade them and bash them without coming up with a solution of their own, other than you fix the problem, isn't the answer. There's a high, high rate of people not spaying and neutering their animals. You could do a free clinic and give people vouchers, and you could do 100, and I bet you wouldn't even get 100 people to show up to have their dog spayed and neutered, because to them it's just an animal. They don't see the problem. So you could educate, but it's still not going to change some people's minds to treat the animal like the reproducting machine that they are. That's all I had.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Matt. Thank you. Did you say you submitted a letter or an email?
I did submit a letter.
Submitted a letter to the county manager?
In advance.
Okay.
Joe had it.
All right, thank you. All right. Ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, item number one, you're going to appear on behalf of the transportation, Mr. Brinson.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I now appear before you on behalf of Ms. Phoenicia, the transportation director. She is requesting that the board schedule a public hearing for September the 16th at 6 p.m. regarding the fiscal year 21 grant submission to fund our public transportation system. And this is the application for the state and federal funds that we use to purchase transit vans and to pay for administrative costs.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and properly seconded that we approve a public hearing for September 16, 2019 at 6 p.m. regarding fiscal year 21-2021 grant submission to fund the public transportation system. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries.
If you could give me just a moment, Mr. Perfect. Chairman, I need to get the 8U softball all-stars in here.
Hold on, Mr. Brinson. Are they both teams coming in right now?
Just the 8U right now.
Okay. This name up.
Brandon Powers. Hey, Brandon. You're my contact person, okay? So do you want to introduce the young ladies to the board?
I will, if may be. Ms. Sadie Castine, Jeremy Hall, Ozzie Monk, A.T. Jackson, Deanna Thomas, Deanna Holly, Preston Powers. I'm Brandon Powers.
Brian Castine,
Dustin Jackson.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have a resolution that I'd like to put forth on behalf of the Board of Commissioners in recognition of the Duplin County 8U Softball All-Stars. Would you like for me to read it, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Whereas the Duplin County Softball 8U All-Stars won the 2019 8U Babe Ruth North Carolina State Championship, and whereas the Duplin County Softball 8U All-Stars won the 2019 Babe Ruth World Series Diamond Bracket, finishing fifth among teams from all over the United States, and whereas it is fitting that we recognize not only their hard work, but their ability to set goals, both individually and as a team, and to play with respect, and whereas the players have worked together in an atmosphere of wholesome activity to learn and instill the basic ideals of fair play and good sportsmanship, and whereas Duplin County is proud of the achievements of the Duplin County Softball 8U All-Stars have earned and the recognition they have brought to our community by their inspired team play. Whereas coaches Brian Castine, Josh Herring, Dustin Jackson, and Brandon Powers, along with a roster of Sadie Castine, Lorena Checkey, Jovi Hall, Reagan Herring, Bennett Hawley, Mackenzie Jackson, Sophia Jones, AZ Monk, Presley Powers, Abby Sunyuk, Kiona Thomas, and Hannah Whaley proudly represented Duplin County in being crowned 2019 North Carolina Babe Ruth Softball Champions. And whereas the Duplin County Board of Commissioners urges all citizens to be cognizant of the importance of organized sports in the development of our most valuable assets, our youth. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Duplin County Board of Commissioners that we extend congratulations and recognition to the Duplin County Softball 8U All-Stars and applaud them for their outstanding athletic achievement. In witness thereof, I have set my hand an official seal of Duplin County this 19th day of August 2019. Kennedy Thompson, Chairman. I now entertain a motion.
So moved. All right. To where I need to be. It has been moved and properly seconded that we adopt a resolution acknowledging the accomplishments of these young ladies and their coaches. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And motion carries. Girls, congratulations. We are very proud of you. We know this is not an easy accomplishment. Coach Castine and I grew up together, and we didn't win anything like this. Did we, coach?
Not at all.
So we realize this is a very special thing, and we are proud that you are part of our community. Does anyone else want to be heard?
You all are celebrities. I want you to turn around and let everybody see. Just step up here. Come back here. Let everybody see you there.
Is there a representative from the Duplin Times here?
That's me.
Okay, do you want to try to get a group picture with the team and the Board of Commissioners?
Do the best, honey. Do
All right. Good girls.
Again, congratulations, girls.
This 7 of the 12.
Yes, sir.
Oh, right.
Have them come through so we'll check.
Yeah, all right. Can I shake hands?
I want to shake a celebrity.
Congratulations.
Good job.
Congratulations.
Good job. Proud of you.
Congratulations.
Proud of you.
Man. Congratulations.
Little battle.
Congratulations.
Good job.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Good job.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, appreciate
it. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for your hard work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, coaches.
Yes,
you put a lot into it, we know.
Way to go. Way to go.
Do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Turn around, let everybody see you. Okay, all right, here we have the under 10 world champs, right?
That's right.
Can you believe that? Right out of Duplin County. So, Mr. Brinson, you want to make a proposal for a resolution recognizing these young ladies?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Would you like for the coach to introduce the young ladies first?
Yes.
Brandon, if you could do that.
My name is Brent. This is Jason Brandon. We're able to attend.
I'm sorry.
This is Ava Noble, step up, Wade. Addison Spence, Zoe Turner, Carson Parker, Marissa Barone, Kenzie Kane, and Shiloh Smoke. We have three that we're able to attend.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I now have a resolution that I would like to read into the record. Resolution on behalf of the Duplin County Board of Commissioners in recognition of the Duplin County 10U Softball All-Stars. Whereas the Duplin County 10U Softball All-Stars won the 2019 10U Babe Ruth North Carolina State Championship, and whereas the Duplin County 10U Softball All-Stars won the 2019 Babe Ruth World Series Championship. And whereas, it is fitting that we recognize not only their hard work, but their ability to set goals, both individually and as a team, and to play with respect. And whereas, the players have worked together in an atmosphere of wholesome activity to learn and instill the basic ideals of fair play and good sportsmanship. And whereas, Duplin County is proud of the achievements of the Duplin County Softball 10U All-Stars have earned and the recognition they have brought to our community by their inspired team play. And whereas, coaches Brandon Parker, Jason Turner, and Brett Noble, along with a roster of Rebecca Beach, Marissa Bernal, Kenzie Cave, Ava Noble, Carson Parker, Anna Marie Rodriguez, Shyla Sloan, Addison Spence, Holly N. Thigpen, Zoe M. Turner proudly represented Duplin County in being crowned 2019 Babe Ruth Softball World Series champions. And whereas the Duplin County Board of Commissioners urges all citizens to be cognizant of the importance of organized sports in the development of our most valuable assets, our youth. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Duplin County Board of Commissioners that we extend congratulations and recognition to the Duplin County Softball 10U All-Stars and applaud them for their outstanding athletic achievement. In witness whereof, I have hereto set my hand and caused the official seal of Duplin County to be affixed this 19th day of August, 2019, Kennedy Thompson, Chairman.
All right. At this time, I will entertain a motion to adopt this resolution recognizing the state champs and the world champs.
Second.
It has been moved and properly seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That motion passes. Girls, congratulations. This is obviously an unbelievable feat for any county, any community, especially here in this area. We are so proud of you. We know this is not an easy feat, and we know you all worked very, very hard, and you represented our community very well. You also won the state championship last year as well, correct? So you guys are sharp. I asked for Kenzie's autograph the other day at the pool, and she wanted money for it, so maybe I can get an autograph from you guys soon. You guys are famous. Congratulations. Can we get a picture?
Could I get a high five?
All right, next we have Miss June. She is up here with our Register of Deeds.
Good evening.
Good evening.
The Register of Deeds has four property books that need to undergo professional preservation efforts. There are property record books 16, 21 Part 1, 21 Part 2, and Book 22. They need to be professionally preserved by undergoing conservation, deacidification, mending, encapsulation, and rebinding in order to preserve them for their historical value and use for future generations. The Register of Deeds is requesting permission to expend Register of Deeds Automation Enhancement and Preservation Funds to have four property record books preserved and to also have the Board of Commissioners to adopt a resolution pursuant to GS-132-7 to allow the Register of Deeds to remove the books from her office in the courthouse while the preservation efforts are being performed. The funds for this project will come from the Register of Deeds A&P Fund, which can only be used for automation and preservation efforts in the Register of Deeds office. No allocation from the county's general fund will be required.
So moved.
Also, I have a budget amendment here because it's going to be $13,118 to pay for this, so to be moved.
Can you repeat that figure, Ms. Jean?
$13,119.
Okay. It's been moved and properly seconded that we allow the registered deeds to remove these books from the courthouse and preserve them or put forth the necessary action to preserve them and sign a resolution and a budget amendment to effectuate this. Questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brinson, you're going to speak on behalf of our museum director.
I would, Mr. Chairman, thank you. We received news last week that the Cowan Museum of History and Science has received a $150,000 grant from the North Carolina Department of Cultural Resources, Natural and Cultural Resources. $75,000 in the current fiscal year and $75,000 in the subsequent fiscal year. This is the grant that we use to help fund operations and certain projects at the Cowan Museum. It has been on hold because of state budget negotiations, but the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources has released the funds now. And so we would ask that the board accept the funds and also budget the funds.
Okay, it's been, I entertain a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded. We approve this grant contract between the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources and the Cowan Museum and authorize these funds to be given to us and make necessary budget amendment for these funds. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries.
I would like to mention, Mr. Chairman, I failed to do so. There is no county match.
Okay. All right. Next up is Bob Houston with our emergency services.
Greetings, Mr. Chairman and Board of Commissioners. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to appear before you tonight. The reason for the appearance is to grant Elite Medical Transport a franchise to operate as a non-emergency transport company within the confines of Duplin County. At current, they already have existing contracts with Insight as a transport management group, which allows them to provide transport that goes out of county for any patients at Kingsville Health and Rehab and the Bryan Center in Wallace, as long as it's traveling outside of the county. This franchise will allow them to operate with transports that are going inside the county from point A to point B inside the county. This will also encompass wheelchair transports as well. They currently are operating in Greene, Lenore, Jones, and Craven counties. They had the following medical directors, Dr. Ribeiro and Dr. Kuntz, for ALS privileges in Greene County and Craven counties. Elite is offering a non-emergency scheduled transport and wheelchair transport service to the citizens of Duplin County. At this time, they have no intentions of going ALS. We have spoken with the legal department. They are good with the franchise application as presented to you in your packets. Also, we have spoken with the medical director, and he is okay with it as far as them operating under his license as a BLS service.
All right. I entertain a motion.
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and properly second that we approve to grant a franchise to Elite Medical Transport for non-emergency transports. Questions or comments?
Yes. I had a question.
Yes, ma'am.
This is a Elite Medical Transportation that's here or around surrounding Duplin County?
Their base of operations actually in Snow Hill.
In Snow Hill?
Yes, ma'am.
But they'll be able to move the patient within?
Yes, ma'am.
And then if supposing you have to leave Duplin County, who will do that? The regular?
They can do it if it... The franchise is for them to operate inside the county as far as patients going from point A to point B inside of Duplin County.
Right.
At present, we only have one company that is allowed to do that under our system plan and also under the franchise agreement.
Okay. This is not the same one we had last year, is it?
No, sir.
That was cast?
No, that was Coastal Medical Transport. Cass has already has a franchise and operates in this county.
Okay. Coastal Medical, they just went by the wayside?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, did this company approach you?
Yes, sir, they did. This company approached me and this county to be granted a franchise.
Are they the only company that's approached you as far as you know?
Yes, sir, other than Coastal and the legal department put a stop to that. That one.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, we have Ms. Moore with NC Works. Hi.
I don't know if I can follow the World Champions in softball. And I don't need the microphone. I'll stand back here just to protect all of you. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Thanks for coming.
NC Works was previously what was known as the Employment Security Commission. Quite a number of people don't know we've actually changed our name. It was in 2011. So we are the employment side. Division of Employment Security is the unemployment side. So we're actually two different divisions. So what I wanted to do today was to take just a few minutes to tell you about NC Works, what we can do for the community, and how we support business and job seekers in Duplin County. One of the things we'll start with today is the employer need survey. That was taken in 2018. And actually all 100 counties were represented. What was important about the need survey is we got to ask employers what they actually needed, not just from NC Works, but in general, how they saw their employment needs throughout the state. It's a biennial survey, so it's actually going to come up again in 2020. And what's important for 2018 is it did include a geographic analysis, examination by position seniority, and it adjusted questions on training needs and behavior. What the survey disclosed was that 50% of our employers said they were experiencing difficulty in hiring. One of the reasons for difficulty of hiring, and they've listed them on the side, employability was the largest reason at 65%, followed by a low number of applicants and work experience, and then on down for soft skills and down. So one thing that's important to note here is employability, which you see at the bottom, will tell you is work ethic, professionalism, reliability, motivation, and then the soft skills below. In Duplin County, the employers listed the same issues that they were having trouble employing individuals in our area as well. The low number of applicants is not just the number of people, but people qualified for the positions to fill those jobs. So we're seeing the same numbers throughout the state. Duplin County is not alone in having these same experiences. Soft skills, which if you're in the school systems, you probably hear this quite a bit. There's a lot of talk about that. That soft skills are communication, teamwork, knowing that you have to show up for work, knowing that you need to call in, knowing that you're part of a team, so that if you don't show up and your teammates don't, it's difficult to get the job done. So it's important to note about the survey was employers all across the state had the same things to say. So what is the single biggest workforce challenge? Finding job candidates. What they did was an overall percentage, then of course manufacturing, STEM, if you're familiar with the schools, you probably recognize these terms. But what's important in finding job candidates, that is not just finding people, not just finding bodies, that's finding qualified job candidates, exactly. And by that return, we mean people who can perform the job once they get started. Not necessarily somebody who doesn't have any skills, but somebody who doesn't have at least the set of skills needed to get a job done, okay? Turnover is always going to be a factor anytime you have manufacturing in production. And then also, too, staff development, which is training workers. What's important there is that if a company can't retain their workforce, they have a difficult time training them to go on to higher skilled positions within the company. So what are employers doing to respond to workforce challenges? Well, they're increasing training. And actually, most of them are starting their training programs sooner. So it used to be we were somewhere within 90 days. They waited to make sure that you last the 90 days. Some employers now are actually starting their training earlier, trying to develop those individuals to be more skilled faster than they initially thought. They're also revising the pay scale or benefits. something that is important for this area in Duplin is there's a large employer here that has actually adopted that process and it's working, and that's House of Rayford. If you're familiar with House of Rayford, that operates in Rose Hill and in Wallace, they originally had paid on a lower scale, usually closer to minimum, but that wasn't retaining employees and it wasn't gaining them any competitive edge with the other production manufacturing facilities around us and the surrounding counties. So then they started to increase their minimum wage. Then they went up further. And then recently what they've done is gone to $11 an hour, for example. And the individual has to show up on time and work their schedule, and they can make as much as $11 an hour, which is pretty high for a low-skilled position. On top of that, they have on-site medical care in Wallace, which is outstanding, and it's very progressive for a company to offer those things. So that's what's happening right here in Duplin County for our employers to try to reach their population. Okay? The NC Works Commission, that is who leads our group. NC Works is part of the Department of Commerce. We're the Division of Workforce Solutions. And the commission is actually made up of 33 individuals that the governor appoints. They're private citizens, so they're working for us, but the governor does appoint them. And they oversee what the goals of the workforce development system are. For us, they include your partners such as Commerce, community colleges, the UNC system, health and human services, and also public high schools. Within the commission, you then have the workforce boards. The workforce development boards are the ones who get the money from the federal government and then disperse it down to our areas. So of the 100 counties, we have 23 local workforce boards. What you're looking at is the map is giving you the regions or the area, the counties that belong into those different workforce boards. And ours is down, we have Eastern Carolina Workforce Development Board. They're out of New Bern, and they encompass the 9 counties you see is Duplin, Onslow, Carteret, Jones, Pamlico, Craven, Lenore, Green, and Wayne. So all of us are onto the same workforce development board. We also partner with the community college, DWS, which is us, as well as businesses, vocational rehab, and these folks, their board members are part of the private sector, and they're selected by them, so not by the governor. And their vision is for our area. These are their specific strategies. So you can see that they want to focus on engaging business and community leaders and to strengthen the alliance with economic development. So the next thing we're going to look at is what North Carolina and NC Works can do for businesses. What we want to do is to see businesses grow. Okay? We do that in 4 phases, which is recruitment and screening, training, pipeline development, and transition services. So the first thing we'll talk about are our strategies for recruitment and screening. If you've ever been on ncworks.gov or ever done job searching within the NC Works Career Center, you know that we have job postings. We also post flyers for our local employers so that people know what kind of positions we have available. So what our job is to connect businesses and employers with job seekers with employers. So we're here to help connect qualified work-ready employees through the following ways. And that's, you see the job postings on ncworks.gov, teaching people how to interview, providing training space, a labor market for individuals and for companies. Next, we provide training. And something important to note on the recruitment that we offer. Right now, Duplin County has 4 employers that come every single week to our office to interview. One of the challenges that individuals said they faced was the ability to get a job interview. They send in their resume, they fill out an application, but nobody calls. We have 4 employers that every single week come into our office, hold on-site hiring events. That means they interview that day, and usually they start work the next day or shortly thereafter. So we've had a great response. Just wanted to let everybody know we've had a great response from employers actually doing hiring events within the NC Works Career Center. So that's eliminating that obstacle of not being able to get the job interview. Okay. Next is to talk about training. If you've ever gone to the community college, maybe you've gone for continuing education or curriculum courses, and they said, go and see somebody about a WIOA grant. That's the federal grant that is housed out of our office, but it's administered by James Front. That is to help individuals get financial aid on top of either the Pell Grant for curriculum courses or continuing education. What's important to note there is James Front is really progressive now about getting a lot of different programs underway in the continuing education section. Those are your short-term credentials. Right now, workforce development all over the country, that is what employers are saying they want the most. Not a two-year degree at the moment, four-year, they need somebody who can get in and get to work. That's your short-term credentials, such as truck driving, CNA, anything in the healthcare field. Truck driving, as I think most of y'all know, or hopefully y'all know, has recently started. North Carolina was previously, I think, the third largest trucking state in the country, so this is tremendous for Duplin County to be getting a program of our own. So it's important to note there is that these are our opportunities for individuals to take these courses, to get the short-term credential they need to get started and go to work, and these are trainings that we offer through NC Works, partnering with Community College. Okay, the pipeline development, most important thing there is we're here to partner. We're here to partner with businesses and partner with individuals and using local funding opportunities to help candidates get their jobs. Okay. And last is transition services. This unfortunately is what happens when companies go out of business, and usually at a larger scale. We can assist any company who's transitioning at a smaller scale as well, where they may be needing to lay off some employees. Most people are familiar with this, which is rapid response, and that is unfortunately when you have a plant closing. So we're hoping that we don't need any transition services for any of our employers in Duplin County. The job seeker services. Most individuals come into our office and they're looking for a job. A lot of them come in to get education information, but usually it's employment, and we offer any number of services, not just registering on NC Works. We can help them assess their skill set, plan what kind of career they're looking to get into, provide information, offer to other supportive services. That can be anything from veterans who need to get veteran services, people who need vocational rehab for assistance, maybe they need to go to social services. We also prepare them for job placement. We can assist them with resume writing, interviewing skills, and of course we refer them to jobs, which is something that most people are familiar with. NC Works Online. NCWorks.gov is our 24/7 online system, so it's available to everybody. If you register on the system, you can job search without ever having to come into a local office, but we are there for you, hoping that you will. I'm happy to say in Duplin County, we do have a large contingency that come in, and it's important to us because in a smaller area where you want to find out what's available to you, you do get that personal one-on-one. I think a lot of state agencies probably don't get to provide that service, but we do. We're very happy to do that. So when individuals can come in, they register on NC Works, they get to see a career advisor who can assist them with job searching, career planning, as well as employers that can come in, or they can do also online and post jobs, and that's where they meet. Employers looking for individuals for their jobs, and then individuals looking to get employed. Okay, so the call to action is to please come and visit your local NC Works Career Center. We're 192 Magnolia Extension, but don't beat GPS us because you'll end up in Sarepta. we like to tell everybody coming, you want to GPS the credit union so they can find us. We used to be, we're the ones that had the Employment Security Commission sign. Like I said, we're no longer that agency. We are Division of Workforce Solutions, so we're here to help employers and job seekers find each other. Any questions? Did I keep my 20 minutes? Yeah. Okay, when I take a breath, I can go for hours. So I was trying to succinctly get that in there. Anybody have any questions?
All right, does anyone have any questions?
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate y'all letting me be here this evening.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Moore. So we have Tracy Chestnut, our finance officer.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Tracy Chestnut. I'm the finance officer for Duplin County, and I am here today to present a brief review of information from the audited financial statements for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2018. So local governments are required to publish audited financial statements annually, and the presentation of those financial statements, in other words, what's contained and how the financial information is presented to the public, is prescribed by generally accepted accounting principles and GASB, which is the Government Accounting Standards Board. So first I'd like to give a brief review of the general fund, which is Fund 10, and we're going to discuss the financial statements, which are the revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance, and the balance sheet. So one of the indicators of fiscal health for the county that we focus on is the total fund balance, which is contained on page 19 of your audit. You received those at the last meeting. And it is directly affected by the revenues and expenditures that are reported in the fiscal year. So if you spend more than you take in, you reduce your total fund balance. If you take in more revenue than you spend, then you increase your total fund balance. It's just that simple. So here you can see for fiscal year 18, revenues were $54.8 million, expenditures $5.2 million, other financing sources and uses. What that means is that is money that we have moved to other funds, such as the airport or Registry of Deeds Automation and Preservation. That also represents the money that we spent on school bonds and the Duplin Commons debt. So that's your other financing sources and uses. So after that, the total change in fund balance for fiscal year 18 was a negative $1,786,195. Then to that number, we have to add the change in our inventory, and the beginning fund balance at the beginning of the year was $18,170,293. And the ending fund balance was $16,398,798. Does anybody have any questions about that information before I move forward?
I'd like to ask you, that's in reference to, that's how we know that we are a low wealth county in comparison to what the other counties put at the end of.
Well, we all have the same form as far as how we present our financial information.
Right.
So if we wanted to compare populations and tax base and other counties' receipts, that would probably be the best way to compare versus the all the counties in the state of North Carolina. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And just to go over what I just discussed, the increase or decrease in total fund balance is directly affected by revenues over or under expenditures. We do what is called a prior year adjustment. So if we receive any money or spend any money after June 30th that was accrued in the old fiscal year, we roll those revenues and expenditures back in and report them in the total fund balance calculation. And the capital fund, we're required to combine with the general fund. So when you see these numbers, the capital fund is included in that. So another financial indicator that we like to look at is our unassigned fund balance. And what unassigned fund balance means is basically after all the restricted, committed, and assigned fund balance is taken away from your total fund balance, so the $16 million you just saw, you take out certain reserved funds, and then what's left is basically your liquid cash assets available to use. So in fiscal year 17-18, this is on page 16 of your audit, on the balance sheet, the unassigned fund balance was $6,822,256. So that's basically your cash balances at the end of the year, minus your committed fund balance, which was your capital fund that we just talked about. Restricted fund balance are your reserve funds like the Medicaid reserve and federal assets that we can't use for any other purpose. And then your assigned fund balance, which we've talked about before, is your subsequent year appropriated fund balance. So that's what our fund balance was appropriated for fiscal year 20. So we also have to take that out of our available cash reserves because we've already appropriated that money. It's already spoken for. Okay. We also take out the prior year payables, any prepaid taxes, and any roll forward encumbrances. Does anybody have any questions on unassigned fund balance? Yes, unassigned fund balance before I move forward. Anybody? All right. So like we just talked about, this number depends on your cash balance. The cash balance increases or decreases based on the revenues received and expenditures dispersed during the fiscal year. And the fund balance appropriated in subsequent years, what we talked about, what you appropriate for the new budget, affects your unassigned fund balance. That's why we try to keep that as low as possible when we're planning the budget. Okay? So now let's talk about fund balances as a percentage of expenditures, which is located on page 10 of your audit, and it's included in the management discussion and analysis. So the total fund balance we just discussed, as a percentage of expenditures for the year, that percentage is 31.24%. Your unassigned fund balance percentage was 13%. And your total fund balance available for appropriation, which is what the state treasurer's office likes to view, was 21.56. Our peer counties, as far as fund balance available for appropriation, the average is around 33. So we're a little bit under similar counties with similar populations. Yes, ma'am. Does anybody have any questions about that information before we move forward? All right. So here I've given you a five-year unassigned fund balance comparison. Like again, that's our liquid assets. The state treasurer's office likes to see this at around 8% because they want you to have one month of expenditures available.
In case of an emergency.
In case of an emergency and for cash flow, because the first couple of months of the year, our revenues don't start coming in until the end of August, 1st of September, so you need that cash flow to get the fiscal year started. So from last year, our unassigned fund balance went down $931,834. So let's talk about our enterprise funds, which is the airport fund, the water fund, the solid waste fund, and the transportation fund. Now I've just given you some brief information. Change in net position in the enterprise of funds are similar to the change in fund balance in your general fund. It's just named differently. So for each one of the enterprise funds, I've got your change in net position. The only enterprise fund that had a decrease in a net position was solid waste, and that's because they've been doing a lot of investment in capital. So they've had some old equipment that needed to be replaced, so we've been buying a lot of trucks and trailers that they really, really needed.
Okay.
So that means they spent more than they brought in this year. So here's your net position for each one of these funds at the end of June 30th. and your unrestricted net position, which is similar to your unassigned fund balance in the general fund. And there's your numbers for each fund there. You might have any questions on any of the enterprise funds before we move forward. All right. Let's go back. All right. So next, the next part of your audited financial statements is the internal service fund. And what that is your hospital insurance fund, which is Fund 89. So for fiscal year 18, this information is listed on page 20 and 21 of your audit. The change in net position was a negative $1,605,000. Your net position was 1.3, and your unrestricted net position was 1.3. The major change in your net position is because we spent more on employee insurance health claims in fiscal year 18 than we brought in revenues. But I think you guys have heard me discuss this during the budget.
Right.
So this shouldn't be too much of a surprise. You might have any questions on that fund before we move forward. And last, we're going to discuss the component unit, which is Tourism Fund 29. They do not have their own set of financial statements, so we have to present them as their own little governmental unit within our major financial statements. So you can find their information on page 14 and 15. You'll see the statement of net position and the statement of activities. And on the far right-hand side is where you'll see the Tourism Development Authority Fund. The change in net position was an increase of $15,412. And their unrestricted net position is $500,770. All right. So if anybody has any questions, our audit is listed on our financial information page for DuplinCountyNC.com, or if anybody has any individual questions, I'll be glad to answer it today if I can. If it's something I can't answer within my expertise, we'll get our auditors to answer that for you. And you also have my email address where you can send questions directly to.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. Does anyone have any questions for Tracy? The board?
Nope. Thank you.
I entertain a motion to approve and accept the fiscal year 17-18 audit.
So moved.
As presented.
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded. We do so. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take a break, though. All right. We can be at ease for about 5 minutes. Take a little break. Is Mr. Brinson. Hello. Hey, hello. We're going to get started, everybody. Please quiet down. Y'all like to stay here all night long, but I'm going to leave. This meeting's over.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I now appear before you regarding the proposed animal care control and adoption facility construction. I want to discuss budgeting of donations that have been made in the past for the construction of the facility. Duplin County has held funds that have been donated by various citizens and organizations for the construction of a new facility in the amount of $48,533.63. The county manager, or myself, is requesting that $48,533.63 be moved from the Animal Services Building Donation Fund and placed in a capital project fund. The funds are needed for professional services, including but not limited to site surveying, engineering consulting, and environmental scoping. Also, just to let you know, our county planner, Ms. Stalls, has completed the Red Leg loan application packet and has submitted it to Tri-County Electric, who will be making application to the USDA on our behalf, and we should know something by the first of the year. So I'm requesting that the funds be transferred from the Animal Services Building Donation Fund to a capital project fund in the amount of $48,533.63. Again, these are funds that have been donated for this purpose and have been held by the county in reserve.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded that we transfer $48,533.63 that's currently held in the Animal Services Building Donation Fund to our capital project budget for the construction of our animal control facility that is much needed, and to also approve this necessary budget amendment. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
That motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. I now appear before you regarding a professional services agreement for architectural, engineering, and or surveying services between McDavid Associates Incorporated in Duplin County for a 5-year period. On June the 5th, 2019, the review panel met to process several requests for qualification applicants that responded for an engineering firm to provide services to the Duplin County Water Department. There were three different firms that sent in information to be reviewed. Each firm was rated on the qualification information that was provided in their packets, and the panel members made inquiries on the background and history of the firms from past associates. When all the evaluations were completed by the review panel, McDavid Associates was rated the highest to serve as an engineer and provide services to the Duplin County Water Department. Duplin County Water Department needs to update the SCADA system and complete the water system to provide water to all citizens of Duplin County. It has also been proposed that they may need a new office with a drive-through window. These are just a few of the engineering things that the engineering firm could be asked to assist us with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and properly second that we approve to enter into a professional services agreement for architectural, engineering, and surveying services between McDavid and Associates in the county for a 5-year period. Questions or comments?
What did they decide for 5 years?
That's the standard 5-year contract term for engineering services. So we won't have to rebid it every year or every other year. They go with a 5-year term.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Go ahead, Mr. Princeton.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'd now like to discuss with you the Duplin County Emergency Medical Services pay plan. As you know, there's been a lot of discussion on this matter in the past several weeks, and we held meetings between myself, the Emergency Medical Services administrative staff, and also members of the Board of Commissioners. Several plans were discussed and scrutinized, and now I feel confident in putting a plan before the board for your consideration and a vote tonight. The proposed plan would give all paramedics and AEMTs a 10% increase, EMTs an 8% increase, shift supervisors a 5% increase, and administrative staff an 8% increase. The total cost is projected to be approximately $245,650.15. In our discussions between members of the board, the administrative staff, and myself, the idea of being able to pay a percentage rate higher than the base salary based on qualifications and experience to help recruit seasoned, trained paramedics was proposed. This is an idea that I feel has merit, and I feel that the administrative staff of the Emergency Medical Services needs to help them attract the best qualified paramedic candidates to Duplin County. Therefore, I'm also proposing that the EMS administrative staff, with my approval, be given authority to offer candidates with less than 5 years experience as a paramedic in a 911 system up to 3% more than the base salary. Candidates with 5 to 9 years experience up 7% more than the base salary, and candidates with 10 plus years of experience up to 10% more than the base salary. This pay for experience above the base rates would be only made available to paramedics and not AMTs or EMTs. Is there any questions the board may have about the plan? I will point out that under our current structure, we're budgeted for 40 paramedics, 10 AEMTs, and 14 EMTs. Under the proposed plan that I have put before you tonight, we'll be budgeted for 32 paramedics, 6 AEMTs, and 26 EMTs.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved and properly second that we approve this new plan for the payment scheduled for EMS. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I now have a few announcements to make for the board. First, on Wednesday, August the 21st, I believe you have a letter from the Duplin County Veterans Memorial Museum before you. There will be a presentation made at the museum, and that is Wednesday at 2 p.m. It is recognizing a Purple Heart Medal that will be given posthumously to Private First Class Willis Steele Wilson, and you have been invited to the ceremony and also to tour the museum afterwards. On Thursday, August the 29th, at noon, there will be a retirement celebration for Dr. Herbie Carnegie at the Ed Emery Auditorium, and it will be hosted by the Duplin County Health Department. On Saturday, September the 21st, at the Event Center, there will be a Masters of the Ring Entertainment Wrestling Match. Tickets are now on sale. And
are you participating in that, Mr. Prince?
No, I am not, Mr. Chairman. We can get a tag team match against you and me and Mr. Edwards and Mr. Grady or Mr. Dow. You can referee, Ms. Ladson. Also, I just want to bring to the board's attention that the 2019 Muscadine Festival is right around the corner. It will be held at the Event Center on Friday and Saturday, September the 27th and 28th. Tickets are on sale now. This year's entertainment on Friday night will be the Johnson Boys. And on Saturday, the entertainment will be Spare Change, Gary Louder, and Smoking Hot, and also the Band of Oz.
That's Smoking Hot.
yes, ma'am. And Smoking Hot. That's the band. That's all the announcements I have, Mr. Chairman. We do need to have a closed session for two legal matters. The first being pursuant to North Carolina 143.318.11A3 in the case of Lang versus Duplin County Emergency Medical Services, and another matter concerning legal matters to discuss the RFPs that have been received for county attorney legal services.
All right, I will entertain a motion to go out of open session.
So moved.
Closed session. Moved and properly seconded. We do so. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.